ask you a few questions.
I've got notes here.
Call the meeting order. What do I say?
I'm going to call the meeting too.
So where's the rest of the sidewalk on Main Street? They'll do the blanket.
That's all there is, yeah.
So who's going to build the rest of it?
The city does some capital project to widen Main Street.
There's a piece here.
Did
they pay for this piece? Did this development pay for this piece?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, but did they? Yes, right.
Probably, because it's in the development procedures.
I'd like to call the meeting to order again, please. We have some questions of the administration first, before we go into the rebut. I'd like the administration to comment on some things that were brought up in representation, namely the traffic patterns being impacted, property values being impacted, and the density type of housing that we're putting, that is being suggested here.
All right, I'll start in terms of traffic patterns. It's a moderate increase in density in 20 units. If Public Works had any concern about traffic circulation, traffic patterns, they would have asked for a traffic study. In this occasion, there will be a road widening at the south side of Fernbank and a new right-hand turning lane onto Main Street. That would probably alleviate any traffic problems that are existing in the area. So from the administration's point of view, we can't see any traffic concerns from this modest increase in density. In terms of property values, we've studied that claim many times in many cities, and there's never have been a documented case where any sort of affordable housing, duplex, multifamily development would lower property values in the existing neighborhood. Typically, the property values continue to rise, as in any city and any neighborhood. In this case, it's a vacant piece of land. This is infill development because it's vacant land and it's being infilled with housing. The last item was the density. From a planning perspective, we would support a higher density here. In terms of what's changed has been the question. Planning in 2008 supported the project for duplexes here. So nothing's changed in terms of our support. Also, based on the R. Winnipeg development discussions, we know that the Conference Board of Canada is suggesting that over 180,000 new Winnipeggers are going to be coming to our city over the next 25 years. We're running out of housing stock, and we have about a 13-year supply. We're going to need 83,000 dwelling units. This project meets our new development plan, Council's guide for the next 25 years, in every way. So in terms of density, we think it's appropriate here. Fernbank is a busy collector. And typically, you don't find single-family homes fronting onto busy collectors. We feel if it was rezoned to a multiple-family small, you could get 35 units on this site as of right, and we would be supportive of a project of that style and density as well.
Okay. Thank you. Can the administration comment on the bus stop location on Fernbank?
Well, there is a eastbound bus stop on Fernbank approximately halfway along the length of the project, and it exists will continue to exist at that location, and even with the road widening, will be there.
Okay. So you don't see that being problematic at all?
No. No. You know, the bus stop is necessary. I would venture to say that these the potential owners of these habitat homes will likely have children who will require bus service, and it's right there for them.
Councilor Eady?
Just on the bus stop. So the city itself is paying for the right-hand turn lane. This bus stop is before you start building that, is that correct?
Yes.
But there is a bus stop there, and it does need to be maintained according to the standards for a bus stop, right? So whether this project, what I'm really asking is whether this project is built or not, this bus stop should be maintained to the standard every other bus stop is in the city. Is that correct?
This bus stop is woefully inadequate by current standards for bus stops. And the reasoning for the size of concrete pad that is being asked for comes directly from transit's basic functional requirements to have a concrete slab that extends at least as far back as the rear of the bus for exiting.
But it should have had that in the first place, yes, no?
Well, yes, I'm sure they're on a program of, upgrading, obviously, with the higher priority routes first.
So technically, this might get done whether this project does it or not.
I can't speak to their budget and their priorities. I imagine it would at some point.
Councillor Pactican.
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you. From the administration, just if you could comment on this particular development, the back lane access, how are city services going to be conducted? What's the means of egress? How do we access that?
Well, there's a proposed rear lane off of the side street there with a turnaround at the end near Main Street. It's obviously very undesirable to have an access to Main Street right at that location. But I must emphasize that the turnaround itself, the paved concrete area of the turnaround, will be 50 feet in diameter for garbage trucks and delivery vehicles, that sort of vehicles, to be able to turn around in there. The normal city standard for a residential cul-de-sac, which you'll find in the neighborhood, is, I believe, about 35 feet that you drive around the loop in a normal cul-de-sac. This is 50 feet with no obstructions in the middle, so to make maneuvering as feasible as possible.
And just further to that, with regards to the ACG report, the applicant was talking about an amendment to clause number 8, and I guess I wanted just to ask that we're not asking the applicant to pave the full sidewalk from Fernbank to Red River Boulevard West. We're only asking to pave 134.8 feet. Is that correct?
We're not actually asking them to build anything in Main Street, but to pay a share of the costs of future improvements in Main Street that are purely a requirement of the city's development agreement parameters for all developments that front or abut on regional streets pay a share of the improvements.
What would those costs be, approximately?
By their calculation, was approximately $57,000. That includes a 4 meter in width lane of pavement, sidewalk, street lighting, and landscaping in the West Boulevard when that project occurs.
Yes, Councilor Eady?
Just one more follow-up question. The firefighting for these new houses would be from the front streets, is that correct?
That's correct.
And now the applicant, want to come back and rebut?
you have a couple of comments?
Just to make a couple of comments, if I might, with regard to the comments of the opposition and in the interim the administration. Habitat has no objection to building the 138 feet of sidewalk along Main Street. It's a whole extra wide lane of pavement, the full length that comes to most of the money. Habitat would have no objection at all to putting not only a sidewalk in front on Fernbank, but a sidewalk to it down Main Street to the rear of their property, which is what is asked for. But a lane of pavement, boulevards where there are ditches now, how could you possibly put a boulevard where it's ditches and the city has nothing in their budget in the five-year capital to change that ditch situation or put curbs on Main Street? So if it is deemed by this committee that Habitat should put in a sidewalk along Main Street across the depth of its property, the 138 or so feet, Habitat, would it go along with that very willingly? If I might, the issues brought up by those in opposition were largely, number one, NIMBY, not here, not in my backyard. Put it somewhere else. Habitat's wonderful, but it's wonderful somewhere else. Parking, there's not enough parking. Two stalls for every home. On William White Way, people have front drives. The city law says you can park a maximum of two cars in your driveway. So it used to be one. We increased it when I was on council to two. A lot of people, not all, but a lot of people couldn't put a car in their garage if they wanted it so full of other stuff. Somebody said Habitat's there because they get a tax break. Habitat doesn't pay taxes. The houses that are built, the materials, etc., pay tax. There's tax on it, absolutely. It's not a house for Habitat.
How much would that be?
Somebody said it was going to be a park. Half the property was owned by Silpit Industries and zoned for major commercial. It was only on the back, Qualico had a piece, and down toward Riverstone, the city owned a very small piece. So there wasn't anything big enough for a park anywhere. Remember, there's three owners. Park could only be on city land, and that's one-third of the land involved. Not enough parking. We already have low-income housing at the end of the street. No, you don't. You have no income housing at the end of the street. Everyone in there is on welfare. It's Manitoba government housing. It has nothing to do. Nobody owns them. The only rent they pay is the rent check from the government to the government. This is a totally different situation, and I'm not knocking the other situation, but it has nothing in common with this. People won't be able to maintain their payments. Will go downhill. Habitat for Humanity in Winnipeg has built 228 houses. They, not the bank, does the repossession. They've repoed one. One. There's four times that number of houses in Riverbend. As the former councillor for the area, I know of more than four houses that were repoed by the banks. So, believe me, the hoops they put people through, they make sure they're not repoed. They're going to be run down. These people aren't going to maintain their houses. So these people aren't going to have pride of ownership, but you do. I think these people are going to have more pride of ownership than most people because this is a dream to them, to own houses there. So I don't think that it was handled earlier. This, they're not going to rip up any sidewalk on the side street. It's just there's an irregular piece of land, and that's being transferred. And remember, Habitat is transferring a fair chunk of land on the frontage of Fernbank and at the corner of Main for the city. So it's pretty well a land swap in that way, although I'm not saying it's exactly the same amount because I don't know. The open house, it was a secret. Nobody knew. How could I know? I just found out by his leaflet in my mailbox on Sunday. They personally knocked on in the immediate area, not a faraway area, as was said, 400 doors and talked to over half of them, because some people were out, naturally. They had an open house, which was advertised. June the 6th had an open house. There was nothing done in secret. It's posted for rezoning on the property. The posting's been up for over 3 weeks. That's not a secret, with the phone number of the planner on there to contact if you have any questions. Nothing was done in secret. We, meaning myself and you, Councillor Pagdacan, turned down the same thing in 2008. Number one, we didn't turn down anything. Number two, we put on such tough conditions that the applicant withdrew. It never got to council. Number two, it wasn't side-by-sides. It was attached housing for the most part, a great long wall of homes along there. And it had a back lane out onto Main Street, in there, which just was going to be a disaster and was going to end up killing somebody. And that's, I don't remember everything, but those are the reasons that we had to put conditions, that you don't get a back lane out to Main Street. And you know, of course, there's going to be no front drives on to Fernbank. There aren't now anywhere down the street, and there aren't going to be. It's a major collector street. 4 foot side yards, yes, just like in Linden Woods, just like in Amber Trails, 4 foot side yards on 40 foot lots, which means 8 feet between the houses, because each house has a 4 foot side yard. You don't reach out and touch your neighbor unless you got 4 foot arms and you're standing on the property line 4 feet away from your house. 700 to 800 square feet, they're 1,250 square feet. They're not 700 to 800 square feet, as was said. Was zoned single family? No, it was zoned multiple family, RMFL, or the equivalent, which means it was zoned for low-density apartment blocks. This is, in fact, a downzoning that's being asked for here. They won't pick up their garbage. Those people, we don't want them in our neighborhood. Enough said.
Thanks, Mike. There were a number of misconceptions in the presentations about how the habitat model works, but I won't go into the detail of that. I just wanted to reiterate one of Mike's points, and that is that those homes are about 1,250 square feet, not including the basement, and that's why they've got the value that we anticipate they will have. A 700 square foot home would not have that value.
Councillor Eady, question?
I know I'm not sure if Habitat's done this study, but have you looked at what the cost is for a family of four to live in a like what is the rental value nowadays for a house like or a home like that?
Most of our families come to us from apartments rather than homes, and typically they're paying in the $1,000 range, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more. Typically, rental is eating up 40% of their total family income. We have a number of situations, a number of families where, in fact, it's 50% or greater. When they buy their habitat house, we only take 25% of family income, so immediately it creates additional cash in the family, for the family. And the way that we build the houses, with very high energy efficiency standards and water consumption standards, it significantly reduces the operating costs for the house, which further increases cash available for the family for the other necessities of life, which, of course, includes maintaining the property. Thank
you. No further questions? Actually, I think Mr. Michelin is the center. Mr. Hopkins, yeah, how do you feel about that sidewalk on Main Street?
Yeah, we're fine with the sidewalk, but what we were fearing was we were being asked to build the yield lane or part of that yield lane coming around the corner, and we didn't think that was reasonable. If we're just talking about a sidewalk on Main Street for the length of our property, we'd be happy to build it.
Thank you. Okay. Councillor Pagdacan, can I put you in the chair?
Sure.
Okay. Hang on a second.
Actually, can I ask administration a question?
Yes.
Okay. Just on the Main Street section, which is the standard request for development, I heard a discussion about curbs and stuff. Is it worthwhile just building a sidewalk to building a sidewalk on Main Street? Or is that going to cause problems?
Would the money put, be put in reserve?
That's something I would like to take to our public works people to ask the question. There is room, actually, to build a sidewalk, particularly along the new alignment of property that, that will be provided. Whether the grade will be suitable for, you know, the eventual widening and construction of Main Street, it's something that's actually probably better left when the turning lane and all that work is done to be done.
It seems to me you might have to rip it out after it was built. Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure that was okay. Yeah. So we don't know for sure. We'd have to consult. Okay.
So we go through each one.
Can I call Councillor Pactican to the chair?
Yes. Councillor Pactican.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Sharma.
So we can start with the closing first.
Item number five for the closing of Fernbank Avenue.
He's the chair.
Yeah.
So if you would, number five, the motions are.
I've got it. Okay. I'd like to move that the receipt of public representation be concluded.
Oh, be taken as read?
Yeah, it's the report of the Winnipeg Public Service.
Yes, that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.